The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Okay, we're talking about spiritual warfare. How many understand spiritual warfare? You have been doing some spiritual warfare. Amen. Yes. As believers, we're going to do spiritual warfare. Pastor Otis said that Pastor Leon, who I'm very familiar with, Pastor Otis and Ivy ministered with him many years. He said he used to say, if you're not running into the devil, you are running with him. Which I really like that. Because if you are doing things for the kingdom of God, you're going to run into the devil. The devil's desire is to oppose the kingdom. He's a counterfeiter, and we're going to look at some of the character of the enemy. But he desires to counterfeit everything that God does, and his desire is to stop the ministry of the kingdom of God. And you are a part of the kingdom of God. You're an ambassador for Christ. Some of you are just learning what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. Some of you know you've been in deep spiritual warfare in the past. But regardless of where you are, God wants to take us all to a new level. Amen? And that's our responsibility, to seek God, to do the things that are necessary, to put on the whole armor of God, and stand. Stand.
That's right.
Stand fast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We are in a war. We better take it serious. We talked about the origin of the enemy of Satan, used to be Lucifer. Talked about possible origins of demons, theories about that, which you come to the conclusion that it really doesn't matter where they come from, they are. They exist. And they're all over the place. They're in a spiritual realm, another dimension that is all around us. And they desire to manipulate, control, and above all else, inhabit human beings. They want to possess humans so that they can fulfill their lustful desires. Believer, the enemy cannot fully possess a believer in Jesus Christ. That means he has complete control of you. However, the enemy does manipulate, control, and oppress God's people because we don't know who we are. Because we're not walking in the kingdom power that he has given us. We looked at our enemy as well organized. We looked at Ephesians. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And we looked at that there is an order to Satan's kingdom. The handbook of the supernatural tells us that there is an order. And he's well organized. Today, we're going to talk about believers need to understand this enemy. We need to understand his tactics. We need to understand his character. And I believe we can do that. Just his overall character is summed up in John 10:10. The enemy comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. The thief comes not, that's what it says. Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, now we get both the overall character of the enemy and the overall character of God and Jesus. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the love of God that is poured out. We know God is love. That's what Scripture tells us. And the overall love of God is that he wants to bless his people. What that looks like in individual lives is different. But I can tell you this, it's the same when it comes to certain areas of our life. Relationships, family, church, you know, the body of Christ, and even finances. It's the same. God wants to bless your finances. Do I mean that you're all going to be wealthy? What we would refer to wealthy, we're, as far as the rest of the world's concerned, we are all wealthy. We all have way too much compared to what the rest of the world has. Now, I wouldn't say too much, but we have a lot. Yeah. We're not struggling. We're not in poverty like most of the world. Now, we do have pockets of our society that are impoverished. Praise God, we just need to keep working on that. I can tell you what I believe is the Word of God changes it. Word of God changes people's hearts and minds. Word of God causes people to recognize who they are in Christ, and it causes them to rise to a new level. All right. So we need to recognize and understand this enemy that we are engaged with. There was a Chinese general and strategist, a philosopher, who wrote a book around the 4th or 5th century. They're not exactly sure when it was written. But the title of that book is The Art of War. The man's name, to the best of my ability, is Sun Tzu. Sun Tzu was well respected in China at that time. And there's many nations, and from what I understand, including the United States, that study Sun Tzu's war book. But there's also businesses that take his principles and apply them. And I think that there are some aspects to his principles that the church can glean from. Because here's what he said. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you will need not fear the results of 100 battles. Know your enemy, know yourself. I've already talked about that, knowing yourself. Know who you are in Christ. Know where the power is. Know that it's the blood of Jesus that gives us power and authority. But we have to know these things. We have to be on top of it. We have to recognize. That's why I want to teach this. That's why I think it's so important to know that this thief, this enemy that we have, he steals from us. He'll kill if he can, and he'll destroy people's lives. Look around at what he's doing in our society. Look what he's doing to marriages. Look what he's doing to relationships. Look what he's doing to churches. Look what he's doing to nations. That's the kind of entity he is. Evil to the core. He hates you. That's why we got to get serious. I had an experience recently that caused me to realize the necessity of knowing what you're doing when you do something. You know, not just, you know, trying, you know, thinking that you might know what you're doing, but really knowing what you're doing. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, we really need to know how to handle these things. We really need to know how to stand against the enemy. But recently, Tammy was in Texas. And I got a desire. She does such a great job of fixing rabbit. I love that we raise rabbits to eat. And she was out of town, and I had this desire, so I butchered a couple of rabbits for you animal lovers. It's not easy, believe me. I don't like that part of it, killing them. But I sure love that meat. So I can look beyond the killing part. But anyhow, I butchered a couple of rabbits and stop laughing. She knows the story. And I called Tammy. I said, you know, I want to fix this rabbit. You're not here. I'd really love it. What do I do? I'm not a cook, people. And you'll know that by the end of this story. She said, well, I've got a kettle in the cabinet. You get that out. It's cast iron. And she said, it's a deep one. It was about probably about 6 or 8 inches deep. She said, put some oil in that, and you just fry it up, and then you'll make your gravy. You put a little bit of water and maybe some milk, And you just make a little bit of gravy. And I said, okay, well, when I get ready to do the gravy, I'll call you. Well, everything went pretty good with the rabbit. You know, she didn't tell me how much oil to put in, so she said, get the deep kettle. So I thought, you know, lots of oil. I put about 4 inches of oil. So I ended up, I deep fried them, is what she said. And they were, that part of it was great. And a deep fried rabbit was fantastic. She always puts them, she makes the gravy, and after she fries them, she puts them in the oven and bakes it, and it's really tender and delicious. I was ready to make this gravy and called her. No answer. I thought, oh man, what am I going to do? So I waited for a little while, thinking she'd call me back. I found out later she was in the pool with Mackenzie, so she couldn't call me. So I had to wing it. I had 4 inches of oil in there. She said put a little water in it. I put some water in it. And man, it was really, I thought, man, this is not gravy. What is this stuff? But she said, I remember her saying something about milk. So I got about about a cup of goat milk and poured in it. Boy, was that a mistake. When that milk hit that hot oil, it started multiplying. It grew and it grew and it grew. I got one of those big spoons out and some plates and started pounding on the plates. I had 2 or 3 plates full of what I called gravy. I don't think anybody else would. Finally, I turned the heat down and it settled down. I tried to eat it. My brothers tried to eat it. It was not good. I took those plates of gravy out and fed it to the chickens, who seemed to really like it. However, we haven't had any eggs for about 3 weeks now. I think I stopped them up. Now, to be honest about that last part, I think our chickens have been going through a molt, so our egg production has been kind of down, but it went way down after that. So I learned a lesson about making sure you know what you're doing before you do it. And you know that I didn't harm anybody, maybe the chickens a little bit. But I didn't really harm anybody with this. But if we do not know our position in Christ, I do some crazy things sometimes. If we do not know our position in Christ, our families can be harmed. Our community can be harmed. Our whole nation can be harmed. It's that important. You know, governments spend millions of dollars trying to find out what other governments are doing. And we have a supernatural connection to know what our enemy is doing. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Word thief, kleptos, and steal is klepto. Of course, we get our English word kleptomaniac from these words. Someone who compulsively steals. It can't seem to help themselves. I don't know about you, but I have known a couple people like that. Other than that in their life, they seemed to be really good people, and they cared about people, But there was just something, they had this compulsion that wherever they went, whatever they did, they had to pick up something that belonged to someone else. Why that happened in their life, I don't know, but I do believe it was demonic. I didn't realize it at the time, but I believe it's a demonic oppression that comes up on people. And that people can be set free from these kind of things. All right. So what we're looking at, the thief, one who steals. Steal means to take something that belongs to someone else. And we all have to learn this lesson in our life. Sometimes we take things that belong to other people and we don't even think about it. You know, sometimes people pick up pencils or pens from the office and they take that home and they don't even think about that as being stealing, but it doesn't belong to you. There's many things in our life that we're not thinking about in regards to stealing. The enemy steals from individuals. He steals from families. He steals from communities, and he steals from nations. I believe poverty is a direct result of the handiwork of the enemy. He's stealing from people. In the South Pacific, there's an island called Hispaniola. It's about 700 miles off the coast of Florida. And at one time, it was referred to as the Jewel of the Antilles. It was a beautiful place, part of that island. The other part of it is still, there's two nations on that island. One is Haiti, the other one is the Dominican Republic. I've been to Haiti a few times. I don't know, some of you may have been to the Dominican Republic, Haiti both. I'm not sure, but if you have, you know that when you fly over that island, you see a distinct difference between those two nations. You see the Haiti side is desolate. The trees have all been cut down. There's, you know, just a horrible, you can really tell that there's something horrible that has taken place in that nation. On the other side, it's beautiful, it's green on the Dominican Republic. Now, there's a lot of people who have said lots of things about why. There's lots of studies why Haiti is the way it is. There's even people who have said that, well, it's a spiritual thing because they accepted Satan to, or they made a pact with Satan. I don't know about any of that stuff. All I know is that this is the handiwork of the enemy because there is gross poverty. There's gross sin in that place. When you fly into Port-au-Prince and you walk around Port-au-Prince, you won't believe the way the streets are. There's big boulders in the streets and holes everywhere, trash all over the place. It's obvious these people are beat down. And it's the enemy that has done it. There are pockets of prosperity in Haiti where missionaries have gone in and preached the Word of God. They set up schools and they have missionary camps and there's places that prosper. And it's a direct result of the Word of God. But the enemy has had his way in that nation. The enemy wants to have his way in every nation. Right now in the Middle East, the enemy has had his way in many nations. War and destruction and poverty. Lives are being shattered. This is not God's will. God desires love and peace, compassion. Stealing from people. That's what the enemy's doing. And regardless of the natural causes or supernatural causes, the reality is this is what the enemy is doing. Part of Satan's character is to steal everything we've got. So when you see him coming into your life and stealing from your relationships, stealing your finances, stealing compassion, love, trying to impart anger and frustration, you know it's the enemy. That's his tactics. Turn with me to John chapter 12. The Gospel of John. Says then, verse 1, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Praise God, raised from the dead. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil, spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and that the money box and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Jesus knew he had a thief. He knew he had an individual in his midst that was doing wrong and that had the wrong attitude and wrong motivation. I speak this to the hearts of God's people, that we make sure that we're not allowing the enemy to manipulate and control us. That we're not allowing the enemy to use us to create problems and situations in our family, in our communities, in our church. Listen, the enemy would like to do nothing more but to stir this church up, to put you at odds with me, me at odds with you, the leadership at odds with one another. The enemy desires, that's the way he will steal from us what God has called us to accomplish. But if we will stand on the Word of God, united, if you will trust your leaders, follow us, we will accomplish great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. I have absolutely no doubt about it. There is much to be done. The kingdom is before us. We just got to go. We've got to bombard the gates of hell, because they're not going to stand against us. On a personal level, we have to be careful that we're not doing something that is considered stealing. I want you to examine yourself this morning. We don't want to be in the enemy's camp. When I worked at Willow Island, I worked there for about 2 years, and stealing was rampant. It was incredible. Everybody had the opinion that this corporation, they've got so much money, so we can just take whatever we want. It got so bad that before we left at night, everybody had to walk through a line with their lunch bucket open so that we could show that we wasn't taking something home with us. What a crazy attitude. Listen, that is an attitude that comes directly from the pits of hell. That someone else's possessions is yours to take if you want to. Just because they might have more, or they're doing better than you're doing. That's a lie from the pits of hell. It's theirs, and you should not take it. I had to learn this lesson in my relationship with my wife. When she has something, unless she tells me that I can have it, it's hers. Now, I have a bad habit. If I see something laying around and I want it, you know, food, it doesn't matter what it is. I pick it up. I take it. But I had to be chastised for that. Particularly, most of you know that I bought Tammy a candy bar one time. A zero. And gave it to her, and she was just blessed because I thought about her. Well, it laid around the house for 2 or 3 days. So I assumed that she didn't want it. And I ate it. That was a big mistake. That was Tammy's candy bar. So I learned my lesson. Even in my family, I should not take things that do not necessarily belong to me. That was Tammy's candy bar. And although it was just a minor thing, it was painful to Tammy because I'd given it to her and then I took it back. I'm just telling you these things this morning because I want you to examine your heart. I want you to think about the life you're living, things that you may be doing that could be affecting people around you and you don't even realize it. So the enemy is working to try to steal. In Acts 10:38, it says this, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The stealing is the devil's tactic. The oppression is the devil's tactic. And I believe that when we see and we recognize that the enemy is stealing from us, that we can hold him accountable and he must return to us sevenfold what he has stolen from us. But we have to recognize who it is. It's not a person. It's a supernatural being that is behind us. Supernaturally, the enemy is intervening in our government stealing from people. Praise God. Don't condemn the government. Stand against the enemy. Pray that God will open the eyes of those who are being used and manipulated. Hallelujah. I know it's hard. I still have a hard time sometimes when I see these things being perpetrated on the public, lies that are being told and stealing that's going on in people's lives. And I speak things that I shouldn't. I want to be held accountable. I want to know that the motivation is supernatural, not natural. I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. This is the enemy that we have to deal with. But God has given us the power and the ability to do so. Has anybody in here ever heard of Henry Groover? No one? Henry Groover became famous as a prayer walker. He wrote a book, Prayer Walking, and basically his ministry calling is to go all over the world, wherever God calls him, and walk and pray. He just walks and prays in cities all over the world. And in this experience, he's had numerous visions and encounters with the supernatural world. If you have a chance, you know, Google Henry Groover. He's had received some visions that are pretty frightening for the United States and the world. But anyhow, I want to tell you this part of Henry's story because it just really drove home the point of how we must know who we are in Christ and be able to speak to the supernatural powers. He has been praying and walking the world for many, many years. One night the Holy Spirit, now he has a group of guys that about three or four that do this with him. He was one night in the middle of the night, the Lord woke him up and said, I want you to pray. When he got down on his knees immediately, this was 4 a.m. in the morning. When he immediately hit his knees, he started having what he thought was a vision. And he found himself in Rome, in Italy. And he was at this He said it looked like, in the cities they have these elevator things that come up and down for as they bring material in. They take it down into the basement. He said it looked like that. And as he was standing there, it opened up. And the Holy Spirit told him to go down. He walked down, and when he started down, he realized that his friends were behind him. And he was they were praying in the Spirit and praying out loud, praying the power of God. And he just walked forward. And when they went down and down and down. And when he got down to the bottom of this place, he walked forward and he saw in the distance a huge creature. And he looked at the creature, and the creature looked up and saw him. And he said it stood up. And I'm just trying to recite this from my memory, but I think he said it looked like it was about 13 feet tall. Winged, dark creature. He assumed it was a fallen angel. When it saw him, it said, "You should not be here." And when he said that, he looked off to the left, and there was another one, same size. Henry said that the Holy Spirit came up on him, and he started speaking to them. He said, things like you're the power of darkness, and God, and I bind you up in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said that it was just God. He said, I didn't know what to do or how to handle this situation, but God spoke to me, and he said, I release the power that has been bound up of the apostolic ministry in the earth. He's speaking directly to these entities. And immediately, this was 1983. This was before any of the apostolic ministry that is going on today was alive and well as it is now. There are many who have been reinvigorated to start apostolic ministries where they're overseeing various churches. We belong to an apostolic ministry through Apostle Mark Piper. These men have been called to unite the body of Christ. It's not a denomination. It's independent churches coming together to build the kingdom of God, like-minded believers, we place ourselves under authority of the apostle. Now, at any time we can leave, at any time we can walk away from it. But Apostle Mark Piper is an awesome guy. For those of you who have met him, you know what I'm talking about. Just a very humble, godly man. But this ministry has flourished since then. But at that time, he pointed at both of those entities, and he said, he commanded that the apostolic ministry be released. And when he did, the one standing in front of him said, "Well, we'll be leaving then." And as he started to leave, the Holy Spirit came upon Henry, and he said, "Absolutely not. In the name of Jesus Christ, the angels who fell from their first estate are bound up in the bottomless pit until the day of judgment. I bind you in Jesus' name." And chains immediately started wrapping them up. They were wrapped up from feet to head, completely wrapped up, and then they were whisked away. Henry thought that was a vision. However, a few days later, one of his friends that was with him called him. And he said, "Henry, has anything been happening with you lately? What's going on?" He said, "Well, 4 a.m. the other day," and he explained the whole thing. And the guy said, "I'll get back with you." He hung up. Day or so later, he called back. And he explained, he said, "Listen, all of us had the same experience. We were there with you. We were behind you. We were praying for you." So what it appears that maybe that wasn't just a vision, it was a translation to that very spot with all those guys. Now, you can believe this stuff, or you can throw it, just toss it out the door if you don't believe it. I happen to believe this is reality. I happen to believe that when we walk in the power of God, when we know who we are in Jesus Christ, there isn't any force of hell that will be able to stop us. We have victory in Jesus' name. I'm teaching you these things. Hallelujah. I'm teaching this stuff to you this morning, and as we continue with this message, I'm teaching it to you so that you will recognize the enemy when you encounter him. Listen, Jesus, in Mark, the 8th chapter, I'm wrapping this up in case that you're getting real antsy. In Jesus, in the 8th chapter of Mark, Peter confesses Jesus as the Messiah. In the very next situation that happens, Jesus is telling his disciples that I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be turned over to evil men, I'm going to die. And Peter says, that's not going to happen to you, Lord. And Jesus turns to him and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, I say that to you because I want you to understand, we can know the Messiah, but the enemy still tries to use us, manipulate us, and control us. We have to be on guard. We have to know. We have to see his tactics. We have to allow God to lead our steps and direct us. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I ask everyone just to bow your head this morning. Father, I ask that you help us to search our hearts. Help us to come draw closer to you in our lives. To know exactly what you've called us to. And Lord, in those times when we find ourselves weak and the enemy manipulates and controls us, help us to know you're still our God. You're still our strength and our power. And that we can and we will get back on track, be used by you, and glorify your name and your kingdom. This morning, Father God, I thank you that I'm able to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every household, every person in this place. We refuse, Father God, to allow the enemy to manipulate and control your people. We are united in this place in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything that has been said in contrary to unity, I condemn it, Father, in the name of Jesus. That your people will walk in unity, in power. I take authority over the enemy, over Python, Leviathan, these supernatural forces. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. I take authority over any spiritual wickedness in this place and in your people, Lord. We rise up together in the name of Jesus Christ. We are going to accomplish your will. We're going to put down and we're going to stand against the gates of hell. They'll not prevail. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. If you'd like to have prayer for healing, please come up. Our prayer warriors come up. If you need prayer, they will pray for you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.